Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Ken Timmerman comes to this broadcast table in a moment with reports on geopolitical activities happening around the world today. For example, we will discuss Iran massing their military forces around Iraq and Syria. John Bolton, the National Security Advisor to President Trump, was this last week in Israel, and one of the statements he made was that Russia is stuck in Syria, however, Iran must go. Ken will also talk to us about China and its way into Syria to rebuild this war-torn country. By the way, there have been Chinese ships in the Mediterranean Sea. Naval experts are concerned about their presence there. And we'll talk about China's role in the Middle East and around the world as we have our conversation with Ken Timmerman. That's upcoming in a moment right here on Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Let me remind you about my website, prophecytoday.com. Many services that we make available to you, friends of Prophecy Today, and people who are interested in studying Bible prophecy. The banner over my website says, "Looking at Current Events in Light of Biblical Prophecy." Well, we have a prophecy bookstore, a number of teaching materials, both CD audio series, DVD documentaries, books, and information, and other series on topics in Bible prophecy that will assist you in your study of the end time scenario that is found in God's Word. We have a location where we talk about our tours to the Middle East. We go to Israel for 10 days, a four-day extension over into Jordan and the unique city of Petra. We also take a five-day tour of Turkey and on in for 3 days in Rome, Italy. If you take all 21 days, this will give you the entire unfolding of how the Middle East will play out their end-time scenario that is found in Bible prophecy. Go to my website, prophecytoday.com, go to Joshua Travel, and there you'll be able to find out the dates for about 8 tours that we have coming up in the next year. You'll find out the itinerary for each of these tours, also the cost for you being able to join us in the land of the Bible. Prophecy Q&A, in addition to that, we have much information that will keep you posted on how current events are playing into the end time scenario found in God's Word. That address, prophecytoday.com. Make sure you bookmark my website. Well, let's go to the Washington, D.C. area. Our good buddy Ken Timmerman on the catbird seat, but not on the catbird seat today. He's on the move. We've caught him someplace in the area. He is always on the move when he's not traveling around the world, some area of this world where he's reporting for us what's happening. But Washington is the area today. And let me get underway with this question for you, Kim. Iran is massing troops there surrounding the area of Iraq and Syria. Now, last week we talked about Islamic State, which you've written extensively about, your new book especially. And we know that they're coming back to power, or at least training to come back to power in Iraq and Syria. Now, Iran massing their troops around that. What's happening?
Well, what the Iranians are trying to do is to assert total control over Iraq, and in particular to make sure that rival Shiite militias, notably there's a militia that was set up by Ayatollah Sistani, who is far more moderate than the Iranian Ayatollahs. They want to make sure that that militia is off the ground in Anbar province, so the Iranians control what's called the land bridge between Iran through Syria to the Mediterranean. So they're bringing their troops back into Iraq from that border area to make sure that they can control the border and keep it open.
Well, they have a militia in there with Muqtada Sadr, do they not, that can assist in this?
Well, Muqtada Sadr is an interesting character. He sometimes works with Iranians, sometimes he doesn't. He built himself during the recent parliamentary elections in Iraq as an independent voice, and he's shown himself at times to be independent of the Iranians. But no, this is actually a different militia that works with Ayatollah Sistani that is not working with the Iranians. So the Iranians are trying to push them out of Anbar province to make sure that their faithful troops control, that's the western part of Iraq, so their faithful troops control the land border between Iraq and Syria at a place called Abu Kamal.
Ken, this week John Bolton has been in Israel on a very important visit. He made a statement while there that blocking the nuclear weapons of mass destruction from Iran was of the highest importance as far as the United States is concerned, in particular for Israel, but actually for the entire Middle East, would you not say?
Well, and of course it is. President Trump has said so. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has said so. So John Bolton wasn't exactly making news, so to speak, but what he was doing, very important, Jimmy, was showing the solid, solid U.S.-Israel relationship, standing side by side with Bibi Netanyahu, saying that we are both going to work together to make sure that Iran never has a nuclear weapon. And they gave a joint press conference during his trip to Israel. And Bolton very explicitly approved and thanked Israel for its airstrikes against Iranian targets in Syria. Now, that is a bolder thing to do. Certainly, if we had been back in the Obama administration, Obama would be blasting Israel for doing this. He would be taking Israel to the United Nations, filing some form of complaint or other. And now we have an administration, praise the Lord, that is thanking Israel for doing not only what's in its interest, its national security interest, but in helping to secure the region by hitting the Iranians in Syria.
Another interesting statement from John Bolton. He said that Russia basically is stuck in Syria, but Iran must leave. Now, I hope they follow through with that, but an interesting statement.
Well, that's right. Remember, before the summit with Putin in Helsinki, there was a rumor floating about that the U.S. would offer them a trade where, you know, Russia could either get Iran out of Syria altogether, or at least get them the 80 miles away from the border, and the U.S. might consider lifting some of the sanctions on Russia. That didn't happen, as we know. I think the U.S. is reevaluating its position here, and it understands that the Russians haven't exactly bitten off more than they can chew, but they're deeper involved in Syria than they probably want to be. The Russian Defense Ministry this past week released figures showing just how extensive their involvement has been. 63,000 Russian troops have been deployed to Syria at one point or another. That's not all at the same time, but at one point or another since 2015. And they have launched more airstrikes, more than 30,000 airstrikes, than the U.S.-led coalition has against ISIS targets. So they are in there big time. They've also taken Syria as a proving ground for new weapon systems. The Russian Defense Ministry announced that it had tested over 200 new weapon systems during the conflict. So I think the Russians are now looking for a kind of diplomatic way to reduce their involvement in Syria, and especially to get somebody else to pay for the reconstruction of Syria as this civil war winds to a close.
Boy, that is very interesting, Ken, because of the fact that the Chinese are considering going into Syria. I mean, this is really, I think, breaking news. And they say they're willing to put up the money and put up the manpower to reconstruct the war-torn state of Syria. This is a very interesting development, is it not?
It is a strategic development, Jimmy, that, frankly, I don't think a lot of people saw coming. The Chinese are now offering publicly to help reconstruct Syria, to invest in Syria, and they're going to call this part of their Belt and Road Initiative, opening up the old Silk Road, right, from China up to Europe. And so they're talking about building a rail line between Tripoli, Lebanon, on the Mediterranean border up into Syria so they can transport goods into Syria. They're talking about rebuilding the ports, perhaps dredging them, making them deeper for large container ships. And the Chinese have been also, they've had naval exercises in the Mediterranean in recent months. This is pretty astonishing. They're investing in Israel as well. And that's actually got a number of U.S. and Israeli leaders a bit concerned. You had Admiral Ruffhead, the former commander of Naval Intelligence, who said at a conference in Israel this past week, the Chinese involvement in the port of Haifa is allowing them to potentially intercept strategic communications of Israeli weapon systems, of the Israeli command, and they're worried about this growing Chinese presence throughout the region, having private security companies undoubtedly run by the Chinese military and Chinese military intelligence to take care of their workers, to survey and keep their workers safe with it when they're working on projects. So China is investing big time in the region, and it means it's no longer going to be the U.S. and the Russians competing, but it's going to be the U.S., the Russians, and the Chinese.
Well, give me a bit more about that expert naval operations out there in the Mediterranean, saying China has been pretty active in the Mediterranean. That's setting the stage for what you're really talking about, isn't it?
Well, that's right. So it's Israel, it's Syria and Lebanon. They're also, they just signed a contract to essentially take over the management of the port of Piraeus. That's the famous port in Greece that serves Athens. Anybody who's ever been to Greece on a vacation knows that you've got to get from Athens down to Piraeus to get out on a ship to go to the island. Well, now the Chinese are going to run that port. That gives them a virtual lock on the Mediterranean, something that even 5 years ago would have been completely inconceivable.
And indeed, they own, what, half of the United States? They have mortgages with everything and everybody in the United States. I mean, China's got a trend of wanting to take over this world, I would say. Would you not agree with that?
Well, the Chinese have a couple of goals. One is to become the world's largest economy soon. I don't think they're going to accomplish that. Another goal is to become more powerful militarily than the United States by 2050. I don't think they're going to accomplish that. Unless we have another president or two like Obama, who was dead set on weakening the United States of America. And the Chinese economy is suffering these days. It's not as strong as it was. They've lost several trillion dollars in wealth over the past year. They're not growing as fast as they were before, but they still have a ton of cash, and we're talking trillions of dollars in cash, and they're using it on this strategic Belt and Road Initiative to make sure that they have a staging area on the sea and on the ground so they can move from China all the way up to Europe. That is a big deal, and that they will succeed in doing.
And this information is so key, my dear friend, if you're a student of Bible prophecy. China is mentioned in prophecy, Revelation 16:12, the kings of the East making their way ultimately into Jerusalem for what everybody refers to as the Battle of Armageddon. More on that later in the broadcast. Ken, outstanding report. Appreciate so much what you bring to the table for us. It's key for every one of our listeners. Thank you for being available. We'll have another conversation next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.
Very important report coming from Ken Timmerman here on Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. You know, Ken's report revealed to us that the Russians are involved in Syria today, but also there is a plan for China to be involved as well as they come into this war-torn Syrian nation in order to help rebuild this nation for the future. Now, these are two major powers, Russia and China, and they are key to the Middle East and the Bible prophecy scenario that's found in God's Word. Russia, actually, will be at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation period. That's Ezekiel 38 and verse 2, where Magog is Russia. China will be key in the end of the seven-year tribulation period. You find that in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 12, where the kings of the East would include China. The activities of both Russia and China would have to be a precursor to Bible prophecy being fulfilled. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. ProphecyToday.com. We have much information that will keep you posted on how current events are playing into the end time scenario found in God's Word. That address, ProphecyToday.com. Make sure you bookmark my website. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to come back again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.